All right, Tavos said, let's begin. A lot to do today. So first of all, we begin our share with a mazel tov to Baruch Fishel on the occasion of the birth of a granddaughter at 1:30 this morning. Mazel tov. And we dedicate our learning in the zuchos of Rafu Shlema for Tamar Adina. Baskina Shulamis, who needs our tefillos, who needs our Torah. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah and our tefillos, she will have a complete and enduring refuah. So let's begin. So we left off yesterday with Rabbi Chiya's dramatic statement about Rabbi Chiya, the discussion about Rabbi Hanina and Rabbi Chiya about who was sustaining Torah. Rabbi Hanina ultimately saying that if I'm sustaining Torah, even if all of Torah was forgotten, essentially I'd be able to reconstruct it through my own knowledge. And Rabbi Chiya is saying I do even better, right? In the beautiful Gemara, Rabbi Chiya planting the flax, then making the nets, catching the deer, shechting the deer, giving the meat to the orphans, using the hides to produce parchment upon which to write different scrolls for Chamishechum Shetorah, Shisha Sidrei Mishnah, educating the children, having the children then educate one another, bringing everyone in to the perpetuation of Torah. And as such, again, remember again, the segue to that was the greatness of Rabbi Chiya. Again, we're discussing the greatness of Rabbi Chiya. So the Gemara says, Hainu da'amar Rebbe. So I'll say, so we left off, it's literally like in the middle of the page. It's from where the lines get wide, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. 12 lines are from the lines get wide. Hainu da'amar Rebbe, kama gidolim, this is Peheim at base, 85b. Today's daf is 86. This is 85b, middle of the page. Hainu da'amar Rebbe, kama gidolim ma'asechiyo. And this is what Rebbe used to mean when he said, see how great are the actions of Rabbi Chiya. Amr Rabbi Shlom Rabbi Yossi, afilu mimar. So Shlom Rabbi Yossi asked Rebbe, do you mean to say that Rabbi Chiya is even greater than you? Amr Le'in, to which Rebbe responded, of course. Afilu me'abba, but asked Rabbi Shmuel, was Rabbi Chiya greater than my father Rabbi Yossi? Amr Le'chas Shalom, to which Rebbe responded, no, Rabbi Chiya was great, but not as great as your father, Rabbi Yossi. Lo teik zos b'Yisrael. The truth is, again, there'll never be someone like Rabbi Yossi in Klal Yisrael. Amr Rabbi Zera, emesh nira li Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. So listen to this. Rabbi Zera said, yesterday, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina appeared to me in a dream. Amar til, I said to him, eitzel mi atot takua. Who are you, it literally means, who are you embedded by? Now what they were asking Rabbi Yossi is, in Olam Haba, in the world to come, who are you next to? Who are you next to in the world to come? So say, Amrali, Eitzel Rabbi Yochanan. Next Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan Eitzel me. And who is Rabbi Yochanan next to? Eitzel Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yanai Eitzel me. Who is Rabbi Yanai next to? Eitzel Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina Eitzel me. Who is Rabbi Chanina next to? So the Gemara says, Eitzel Rabbi Chiya. Amarti lo v'Rabbi Chiya. Excuse me, Amarti lo. Rabbi Yochanan Eitzel Rabbi Chiya lo. So I don't understand, is Rabbi Yochanan? So ask the Gemara, where is Rabbi Yochanan? Right? Why isn't Rabbi Yochanan included over there? Why isn't Rabbi Yochanan next to Rabbi Chiya? Amar li, ba'asar dezekukin denura ube'urin da'asha. And he said to me, in a place, Zoro said, zekukin denura, literally lightning bolts, bu'urin da'asha are torches, man ma'ayel bar nafcha letamon. Could we go ahead and bring in the son of the blacksmith there? I was saying, now what does this mean? Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Rabbi Yochanan eats Rabbi Chiya lo. Amarti ani v'chi ein Rabbi Yochanan ro'i leishev eats Rabbi Chiya. So they were asking, doesn't Rabbi Yochanan deserve a seat in the Olam HaEmes next to Rabbi Yochanan? To which of us, essentially, they said, as great as Rabbi Yochanan was, he didn't have the same level of zchusavos. He didn't have the same level of merit from his ancestors. That's such, they called him the son of the blacksmith. So therefore, again, although he had a beautiful portion of Olam Haba, he did not merit to sit next to Rabbi Chiya. Okay? So the Gemara said the following. Amar Rav Chaviva. Yishtayli Rav Chaviva bar Surmaki. So Rav Chaviva said. So Rav Chaviva bar Surmaki said to me the following. He said, Chazi le'ahu mirabanan da'avishriach Eliyahu Gaber. This is amazing. So I once ran into a particular Talmud Chacham who he used to have frequent conversations with Eliyahu HaNavi. And what happens? Diletzafra havu shapirin enei. One morning his eyes looked fine. Olo orta damyon kidimikalinon benura. And in the evening his eyes looked like they were burnt by fire. Amrilei mayhai. And I said to this Talmud Chacham, what happened to you? Va'amrali. And he said to me, the amrali le'elio, achvi li rabbanon kisalki le'masifta derakia. So this Talmud Chacham said, I was speaking with Elio, and I said to Elio, Hanavi, I want to see the Rabbanim when they're in Olam Haba. I want to see where the Rabbanon are in Olam Haba. When in literally Mesifta Derakia in the Yeshiva Shalmala. Right? In the celestial Yeshiva. Amrali, so Eliyahu Hanavi said, Bekulum Matis Listakuli Behu Lebar Megor Haka Derebchia Delo Tistakil Be. So Dvich Eliyahu Hanavi said to Tam Tchachem, you could look at the chairs of all of the other Talmidei Chachamim, with the exception of the chair of Rabbi Chia. Literally, Gor Haka means like a throne. You see, you can't look at the seat of Rabbi Chia. So my seminayu. So which Talmud Chacham says to Eliyahu Hanavi, fine, but how should I know which is the throne? Meaning, how should I know which one to look at? Right? How should I know which throne is the throne of Rabbi Chia versus the other Rabbanim? So listen to this. So which Eliyahu Hanavi said, "Bekulhu adli malachi kisal ki v'nachsi lebar me Gor Haka Rabbi Chia." With all of the other thrones of the Talmidei Chachamim, the Malachim take them up and take them down. Reb Chia's chair, Reb Chia's throne, moves by itself. Listen to this. The Talmud Chacham says, I was in the Masifta Derakia. I was looking at all of the chairs of Talmidei Chachamim, and I couldn't hold myself back. I had to look at the throne of Reb Chia. Asu trei butiti dinura, or mechayua lahu gavra. Two lightning bolts, right? Two fire bolts came and struck me on my eyes. V'samayhu le'ine, and they blinded me. Azol ishtachi ama arte. I then went to daven by the grave of Rabbi Chia. Amina masnaisa demar masanina. I davened to Rabbi Chia, or I davened in the schus of Rabbi Chia, that I said, Rabbi, I said, I need my eyesight in order to be able to teach your Tosefta. Rashi points this out over here, that is referring to the Tosefta of Rabbi Chia. Rabbi, I need my eyesight in order that I could teach your Torah, v'stoy, and I was healed. So that's the end of that story. Eliyahu have a shchiach m'sifted de Rabbi. Eliyahu Hanavi is actually amazing. Eliyahu Hanavi used to frequent the yeshiva of Rabbi. Yoma chad, reish yar chahava, one day it was Rosh Chodesh, naga le, velo asa, Eliyahu Hanavi was late. Actually very, you know, very life-affirming. So apparently even Eliyahu Hanavi comes late this year sometimes, right? Even Eliyahu Hanavi comes a little bit late to yeshiva. So what happens? Amrlei, so let's listen to this. These conversations are just amazing. Amrlei, my taima nugget late, lemar. So Rebbe asks Eliyahu Hanavi, Rebbe, why didn't you come? Or why did you come late? Actually, in this case, again, he didn't come at all. Why didn't you come? Amrlei, to which Eliyahu Hanavi responds, this is amazing. I was running late for the following reason. I had to wake up Avram Avinu, umashina yade, and wash his hands, umatzli, and daven with him, umagninale, and then I had to put him back to sleep. I had to wake Avram Avinu, allow him to wash his hands, daven, and go back to sleep. V'chein liYitzchak, v'chein liYaakov. And ultimately, I had to do the same for Yitzchak and Yaakov. And apparently, again, because of that process, again, I was running late. And therefore, I was unable to make it to yeshiva. V'lok minhu bahadi hadadi. But why not wake up the avos at once? Right? Why do you have to wake up the avos one by one? Savri takipe berachami umaisi le lamashiach belo zemane. So the problem was, if I were to do that, if they were to daven together, there would be such a intensity of tefillah in Shamayim that Mashiach would come immediately. So therefore, again, the Ribono Shel Olam only allows me to wake up the Avos one after the other, or after the other, but not together. Amazing. Amar Lei, V'yesh Tug Masim Ba'olam Hazeh. So Rebbe asks Eliyahu Hanavi, Eliyo, are there any people in this world who possess that intensity of tefillah to be able to bring Mashiach? We see now, if the Avos daven together in the celestial sphere, they'll bring Mashiach. Is there any parallel? Are there any people in Olam Hazeh who have that same koach of tefillah? Amar le'ikar Reb Chia ubanav. He says, yes, Reb Chia and his sons, if they were to daven together, have the ability to go in and bring Mashiach. Gozer Rebbe Tanisa. Rebbe declared a fast day. Ach sinu Reb Chia ubanav. So he went ahead and Rebbe placed Reb Chia and his sons by the Amid, in front of the Kehillah to lead the davening. Amar Mashiv Aruach. When they said Mashiv Aruach, so what happened? V'noshba zeka. The wind began to blow. Amar morid ageshem va'asa mitra. They said morid ageshem, and the rain began to fall. Kimata l'meimar mechaya mesim ragash alma. When they were about to say the words mechaya mesim, the earth began to shake. Amri berakia Man gali razia ba'alma. So they said, when they saw this happening in the celestial city, they said, who revealed the secret in this world? In other words, who told the people that if Rabbi Chiya and his sons daven together, they could bring Mashiach? Army Elio. They said, Elio revealed this. Asua le Elio. They brought Elio. Machu shisen pulsi denura. They punished Elio with 60, literally 60, pulsi denura means 60 bolts of fire. Whatever this means. They punished Elio. Asa idmi le keduba denura. Elio appeared before this assembly as a fiery bear. And what happens? Vitaradinhu. He disrupted the tefillah. And because he disrupted the tefillah, they were unable to bring Mashiach. That's an amazing, amazing Gemara. Shmuel Yarchino. Asya de Rebbe Hava. So we say Shmuel Yarchino, that was his name. Shmuel Yarchino was the doctor of Rebbe. He was a doctor, and he was Rebbe's personal physician. Hava chalush Rebbe Beine. One time Rebbe had an eye ailment. Amar le imli lecha sama. Let me put eye ointment in your eye. Amar le lo yachilno. So we also listen to this. So Rebbe says, I can't, it's too painful. It's too painful, right? So Rebbe's saying, I can't endure the treatment, too painful. Ashtar lecha mishtar. So look at Rashi. Emshach lecha agabi ayin. So fine, let me rub it around your eye. Right? And it'll come into your eye. So amalei lo yachilna. Rabbi still says, I can't do it. So mosivle begufsa desamni. Two sebi saja. So what did the doctor do? What did Shmuel do? He put the eye ointment in a tube. He placed the tube underneath the pillow of Rebbe. And when Rebbe put his head down, v'itzi. So I said, just so you see how powerful this eye ointment was. So Shmuel put in a tube, put it underneath Rebbe's pillow. And again, it seeped through the pillow. And somehow, again, it got into Rebbe's eye. And Rebbe was healed. Hava kamitztayr Rebbe lemismichei v'lo mistayim elsa. Rebbe wanted to give smicha to Shmuel Yarchino, but for whatever reason, lo mistayim milsa means it never worked out. Rashi says, v'lo hava mistayim milsa, shay sashan nitrefes, holo achame asafen. For whatever reason, he was unable to work it out. He couldn't get the rabbis together, or it was just never the right time. So what happens? Amarle lo litzar mar, to which Shmuel says, Rebbe, don't worry about it. So lo litzar mar, lididi chazi sifra dam dam rishon. I saw the book of Adam Arishon. I will say, now what's the book of Adam Arishon? If you take a quick look at Rashi for just a moment on Peivav Amud Aleph. So Rashi says, Sifar Adam Arishon, Sher Uak Alish Baruch Hu Dar Dar V'Sofrav, Dar 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 Shav, Dar Dar V'Chachamav. The Sefer Adam Arishon is a book of Jewish leadership. It's a book ultimately that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed to Adam Arishon, which shows him the great Rabbanim of each generation. So what happens? So Shmuel says, don't be upset. The Shparach who showed me the Sefer of Adam HaRishon. Ksiv Bey, Shmuel Yarchino, in that book it says Shmuel Yarchino, top of, we'll say, Peivav, top of Peivav. Shmuel Yarchino of Chacham Yiskari, Shmuel Yarchino will be called the great sage. V'Rebbe, or a wise man, V'Rebbe lo Yiskari, but he will never be called the Rav. He'll never be called the Rav. In other words, so Shmuel Yarchino says, Rebbe, listen, I saw already my destiny. My destiny ultimately, again, is to be a great Talmud Chacham, is to be a Talmud Chacham, but not to be a Rav. So the Gemara says, Va'asu de Rebbe al Yado. And it says in the Sefer of Adam Arishon that Shmuel will be privileged ultimately again to be the healer of Rebbe. So the Gemara says, Da Rebbe Reb Nasan, excuse me, Rebbe Reb Nasan, Sof Mishnah, I also saw in the Sefer of Adam Arishon that Rebbe and Reb Nasan will be the last sages of the Mishnah. Ravashi v'Ravina Sof Hora. Ravashi and Ravina will be the end of Hora, of Halachic guidance. So this means Ravashi and Ravina are the last Amoraim. V'simanech, and the simon for this is Ad Avo al Mikdashi, El Avina La'acharisam. And Rashi points out that this is a mnemonic for these names. Amrav Kano, Ishtayli Rav Chama Barbarte Dechasa. So Rav Kano said that Rav Chama, the son of the daughter of Chasa, told me the following. Rabba Barnachmeni Agav Shmada Nach Nafshi. Rabba Barnachmeni died because of the pain of persecution. Literally, Agav Shmada Nach Nafshi, he died because of the pain of persecution. Both say, what happened because of the pain of persecution? So the Gemara goes on. Achlu Beikortza Beimalka. They slandered Rabba Bar Nachmani in the house of the Caesar, or in the house of the king. Amru, they said, Ikach, what do they say badly about Rabbi Bar Nachmani? Ikach had gavra b'yodo, I become a vatel, treisa afi gavra miyisrael, yarcha b'kaita v'yarcha b'stava, mekarga d'malka. There is one guy amongst the Jews who goes ahead and causes 12,000 men to be idle 1 month in the summer, 1 month in the fall, and because of that, the king can't collect his taxes. So we'll say, what does this mean? That, remember again, so Rabba used to gather the masses to learn for literally the month before the Yomim Noraim, as well as the month before Pesach. So what happened? When the king's tax collectors went out to collect taxes, no one would be home. So because of that, they accused Rabbah, they slandered Rabbah, that he's causing the king's treasury to lose out on the head tax twice a year from 12,000 men. So Shadru Pristaka de Malka Basrei. So they sent literally an officer of the king to go and arrest Rabbah. V'lo ishkehe. But there he was unable to find Rabbah. Why? Because Rabbah ran away. Arak v'azun p'obadisa la'akra. He ran from p'obadisa to Akra. Bless you. Akra la'agma. Agma l'shrin, shrin l'tzrifa, tzrifa l'ini demaya, eni demaya l'pumpadisa. So what happens? So Rabba's on the run. He runs to all of these cities. The pumpadisa ashkeche, ikla pristaka demaka, lahu ushpiza de Rabba. So we'll say, so what happened? Rabba's hiding out in a particular inn in Pumpadisa. And who happens to come to that same inn in Pumpadisa? None other than the officer of the king. So what happened? Krivu tacha kame, Vashkua Tre Kasi. So we'll say, so what happens? So the officer of the king is sitting down in the inn, and they bring before him a table, and he has two cups of wine. After he drinks the two cups of wine, Vidalyuha Vitaka, they take away the table from before him. Literally, Hadar Pirtsufe Lachore. His face turned backwards. We'll say, now what's going on over here? Look at Rashi for just a moment. Ashke Tren Kasim Vidalyuha Vitaka, it's towards the bottom of Rashi. Vishadim Hamamunim Alazugos. Mazikin Esashos Zugos Ubnei Abayis Lones Kamikach. So we'll say what happens. We learn in the Maseches Brachos about Zugos, about certain danger in doing things in pairs. So whatever this means, right? So Gemara understands to be a function of Shadim. The Maral has a different interpretation of it. In any event, he drank two cups of wine, Zugos, a pair, and they became exceptionally ill. Now, they did not have the intention to do this to the officer of the king. This just happened. Amrle, so I said, this guy now is dying. So they say to Rabbi Amrle, mine Avile, they gathered the Malkun. But say, one could imagine it is bad for business if the emissary of the king dies in your establishment. Not just is it bad for business, it's also bad for life. Right? So therefore they say to Rabbi, but on the other hand, this guy was pursuing Rabbi. So they say to Rabbi, what should we do? Amrle, Rabbi says, we've got to save his life. Bring a table back before him. Va'ashkayua chad kasa. Give him another cup of wine. Right? V'dalyua l'tacha. Then remove the table from in front of him. V'lisse. And you will see that he will be healed. Avdulei haki. So they did this for him. V'itzien. Baruch Hashem. He was healed. Amar. So we'll say after he was healed, he realized. Meida yadana de gavra de kaba'i hachahu. I know that the great man that I'm searching for is here. I know that he's here. Bachir Shabasrei, sure enough, he searched a bit more, the Ashkeche, and he found Rabbah. Look what he says to Rabbah. Now remember, Rabbah saved his life. Amar, Azalimeha. So he says, Rabbah, listen, I'm going to leave here. I'm not going to apprehend you. But, Imikto Katel Hugavra, Lo Maglina. If they threaten to kill me, if I don't divulge your whereabouts, I'm not going to divulge your whereabouts. However, Vi Negidi Menagdinle, Maglinoi. But at the end of the day, if they torture me, I don't think I'll be able to withstand the torture, and I will end up divulging your whereabouts. Asyuha likame. So I'll say, ultimately, they capture Rabbah. Aile la'andura, la'adruna, excuse me, the tarki la'bava bante. So they put him in a cell, and they bolted the door on the outside. Boyrachame. So we'll say, now Rabbah is in prison. Boyrachame. Again, he's in prison, tax evasion, right? It's not his tax evasion, but ultimately he's accused of causing 12 people to evade taxes. Boi rachame, he davens. Rabbi's in the cell, he davens. Parik ashisa, the wall falls down. Arak, he runs away. Va'azila akma. So I'll say, so miraculously, Rabbi davens, the door of the cell falls down, the wall falls down. He runs away to the swamp. And what happens? Hava Yosef Agirda de Dukla. He was sitting on the stump of a palm tree, the Gargaris, and he was learning. Listen to this. So again, so imagine this scene. So Rabbi's hiding in a swamp, learning. Meantime, what's happening? In the basin, right in Yeshiva Shalmala, Kamufli give himself the Rakia. A major machlokas broke out in the Yeshiva Shalmala. What was the machlokas? The halachas will say, in Baharis Kodemus Lusair Lavan, Tamir will say, a Baharis is a white spot of Tsaras. So if the white spot comes before the white hair, everyone agrees that the spot is Tamei Tsaras. Vimser Lavan Kodem Labaharis Tar. But if the white hair was there before the white spot, everyone agrees that the spot is tar. Suffolk, what happens if you're not sure what came first? The white spot or the white hair? We'll say, get ready for this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer Tar. The Ribbono Shel Olam said, it's tar. V'kulu Mesifta Derakia Amri Tameh. And everyone else said it's tameh. So we'll say, there's a machlokis and the Mesifta Shalmala. I don't know anywhere else in the Gemara where you see the Ribbono, right? Machlokis. The Ribbono Shel Olam says it's tar. Everyone else says it's tameh. V'amri Man Nocha. So we'll say, this is amazing. So nu, who's going to cast the deciding vote? I said, this is amazing, right? Apparently, in the Melchama of Torah, everyone has a say. So who's going to cast the deciding vote? So the Gemara says, Nochach Rabba Bar Nachmani. So Rabba's going to have to cast the deciding vote. Don't Rabba Bar Nachmani, Ani Yochid Benigoyim, Ani Yochid Ba'olos. Because also Rabba Bar Nachmani was known to be an expert in the laws of Nigom of Tsaras, and the expert in the laws of Tumantara. What's the problem? The problem is Rabbi Bar Nachmani is alive. So in order to go ahead and get him to cast the final vote in the Mesifta Derakia, what has to happen? He has to die. So what happens? Bless you. Shaju Shlicha Basrei. Lahavi Lahava Matsi Malachamaves. Lemikravle. Mid Lahava Kaposik Pume Begirse. So we'll say, so what happened? So he sent the Malachamaves to get Rabbi. What was the problem? The Malachamavis cannot get near Rabba. Why not? Because he wouldn't stop learning. He wouldn't stop learning. So because he wouldn't stop learning, the Malachamavis had no control over him or had no ability to access him. Adahachi, so we'll say, so the Malachamavis is sitting there waiting for the opportunity to come and take Rabba. Adahachi Noshev Zeka Va'avish Bini Kami. So what happened? While they're sitting there, the wind blew and rustled the reeds. So what happens? So Savar Gunda de Parshahu. So Rabba thought that it was a troop of the king's men coming to apprehend him. Amar, and he said, Tenach Navshe Duhu Gavra Volo Yimsar Biyada de Mahusa. I would rather die than be handed over to the king. Kisho will say, so what happens? That's the moment he stops learning. Malach HaMavis has the opportunity to take him. And what happened? Kiyavanecha Navshe, as he was dying, Amar, Tahar, Tahar. Rabbi say, ultimately, again, he says, so apparently, again, even as he was dying, he understood the machlokas that was happening in the Masifta Derakia, and he says, Tahar, Tahar. In other words, Rabbi say, ultimately, he sided with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Yatzas Abaskal V'amra, a voice from heaven came out and said, Ashrecha Rabbi Bar Nachmani. Rabbi say, such a beautiful statement. Praiseworthy of you, Rabbi Bar Nachmani. Shegufach Tahar, your body was Tahar. And ultimately, again, your body, your soul left your body with the words Tahor on your mouth. Amazing. Nafa piska merakia bepompadisa. Rabba Bar Nachmani nispakish b'yeshiva shalan. And I have to understand something. Rabbi Bar Nachmani died in hiding, so no one knew that he died. Remember, again, first of all, he was in prison. He escaped. Whether people knew about the escape or not, no, whatever. Gemara doesn't tell us. But the point is, no one knew that he died. So a petek, a piece of paper, fell from the heavens in Pumpadisa that said Rabbi Bar Nachmani was requested in the Yeshiva Shalom Lores, informing them that Rabbi Bar Nachmani had passed away. Nafkwa Baiv Rava Vakula Rabbanan the Sukebe Falo Havayude Duchte. Here is the problem. Rabbi and Abai went to find the body of Rabbi Bar Nachmani, but no one knew, of course, where his body was. So what happened? Azul Agma, they went to the swamp. Apparently, they had some idea that he was hiding out in the swamp. They went to the swamp. Safri Dimitalele Vikaime. They saw a group of birds hovering in a particular location. Amri Shmamina Hasam Hu. So they said, oh, we see from here that what? He must be here. In other words, they saw from the bird formation that must be the place ultimately where the body of Rabba was. So Sabdua Tlasu Tlasa Lelusa. They eulogized him. They mourned for him for 3 days and three nights. Nafal piska, another paper from Shemayim fell, and it said, Kalapore shiye benidui. Whoever stops eulogizing, whoever removes themselves from the body of Rabbi Bar Nachmani, will ultimately again be excommunicated. In other words, God was telling them, you have to mourn no more. Saptua shiva yomi. They eulogized him for 7 days. Nafal piska, another paper fell from Shemayim that said, Lechu leveischem l'shalom. Go home in peace. As Ribbono Shel Olam telling them, you have discharged your obligation for eulogizing Rabbi Bar Nachmani. So Ahu Yoma, on that day, the Nach Naivshe, when he died, Dalye Zafa, the Dori Lahu Taya, Kirachav Gamla. So, let me go back. On that day that Rabbi died, there was a massive wind. Dalya Za'apa, there was a wind that was so strong. The Dairi Lahu Taya, it went and it picked up a certain Arab merchant, Kirachav Gamla, who was riding on his donkey. Mehai Gisa Dinar Papa, Vishajya Bahach Gisa, picked him up on one side of the Papa River and moved him to the other side. Amar, my high, so to which the Arab merchant said, what's going on over here? Amrile, nach nafshe de Rabba Bar Nachmani. He said, Rabba Bar Nachmani has passed away, and that's the cause of this great wind gust. Amar the fondness, well, say the Arab merchant said, Ribbono shel Olam, kuli alma didachu, the whole world is yours. Rabba Bar Nachmani didach, and Rabba Bar Nachmani is yours. At de Rabba, Rabba didach, now you are rabbis and Rabba is just, in other words, you're together with Rabbi Nachmani. Amai kamachrafta leila alma. Why do you have to destroy the whole world? In other words, that the merchant that I was telling Rabbi, listen, Rabbi Shalom, we're sorry that Rabbi passed away. But now you're with Rabbi, Rabba's with you. Can the rest of us go on in peace? Nach zapa. The wind died down. Rabbi Shimon chalafta ba basa. Rabbi says, so now we're going back. Remember again, we'll say how this whole thing started. All of this started with the obesity of Rabbi Lazar. So Rabbi Shimon Chalafta was also a Baal Basar. He was a very obese man. Yom Achad Hava Chamimale. One day it was very hot. Hava Salik V'yosef Ashina Detura. He went to sit down on the mountaintop to hopefully catch a cool breeze. Amrali Labarte. He said to his daughter, Biti, Hanifi Alai Bimanifa. So he said to his daughter, my daughter, fan me with your fan, and I will give you kikarin d'nerds. So kikarin d'nerds was some type of aromatic plant. So go ahead and fan me, and I'll give you some aromatic plant. So adahachi nash bazeka. So before she had a chance to fan him, there was a beautiful, pleasant breeze. Amar, kama kikarin d'nerd lamaradichi. How many aromatic plants do I have to give to the master of the world? And as well say, it's actually a very beautiful Gemara. Kashem and Chalath was teaching us the concept of having gratitude even for the smaller things in life, even for a beautiful breeze. Right? How much akara satov, how many aromatic plants I have to give to the Ribbono Shel Olam for providing me with this beautiful breeze. So we'll say, so now the Gemara is going to jump back just for a moment to the Mishnah. But don't worry, there's still more agarta. Says the Gemara, Hakol kimin agamadinas. Remember again, the Mishnah told us that when you go ahead and you contract with a worker, so the details of that employment are governed by the minhag ha-medina, the regular law of the, meaning the common custom. Hakol asuyei mai. So we'll say, what does this come to include? So the Gemara says, ba'asra denehigi mikrach rifta umishta anpika. So we'll say, this means that in a place where it's customary for workers to come to the employer's house for breakfast, literally mikrach rifta, they bake bread, they break bread, they eat bread, umishta anpika. Anpika was some type of, I guess it was probably like the Talmudic equivalent of like a power drink, right? Of like the Talmudic Red Bull, you know, where they go ahead and they would have this drink before they would go out to work. The Amar Lahu Kadimu Va'isu Lahu Va'amru Lo Kol Kaminach. That if the employer says, listen, why don't you guys go out to the field? I'll bring you breakfast in the field. They have the right to say no, right? We eat breakfast first and then we go out to the field. So ultimately, again, they have the upper hand because there is the minhag ha-medina. Fine. Masei Rabbi Yochanan ben Masiya Shamar Libno, Sei V'sar. So also remember again, the Mishnah then set a case where what? Rabbi Yochanan ben Masiya said to his son, go hire some workers. And his son went ahead and hired workers. Now remember again, he hired them with mizonos. So Rabbi Yochanan said to them, oh my gosh, you better go back and explicitly tell them what you're going to serve them for meals. Because if you don't explicitly say it, then what? You're going to owe them like the Suda Shlomo HaMelech. Because you have the sons of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and whatever you're going to give them is not going to be enough. To which the Gemara says, Maisel is star. I don't understand. Is the story coming to contradict what we said before? We just said, the Mishnah just said before that what? The Mishnah just said before That's when you hire workers, you hire them in accordance with Minag HaMadina. So therefore again, if the Minag HaMadina is to feed them, then we're obligated to feed them. But the obligation to feed them is only what? Is only the basic staples that that employers normally feed their workers. Then Rabbi Yochanan comes along and says, oh, if you've agreed to work, feed them, you could agree to give them even the most lavish of meals. So is the story coming to contradict the halacha that we just said before? To which the Gemara says, Chisra Masav Achi Katani. This is what it means to say. Vim Pasak Lahen Mezonos. See, Rabbi said, if an employer goes out of his way to say to the workers that I agree to feed you, then what? Amud Beis, Rabbi said, top of 86B. Top of 86B. Riba Lahen. See, Rabbi said, here's what's interesting. If I hire workers and I don't say anything, then assuming that the Minag HaMadina is that an employer provides meals for his workers, I'm obligated to give them meals. If I go out of my way to say I'm going to feed you, what the Mishnah understands that means is what? That I'm agreeing to feed them above and beyond the regular entitlement. So again, if I say nothing, I'm obligated to feed my workers because that's Minag HaMadina. If I then explicitly articulate and say I'm going to feed you, that means I'm taking upon myself additional obligations. Then the Gemara tells the story. There was a story of Rabbi Yochanan ben Masya, Sha'amar Libno, who said to his sons, let's say, Pei Bava Mabez, 86B, second line down, say, Schar Lanu Poalim, go and hire workers for us. Halach u'pasach lahen mezonos. So the son went to hire workers. U'kishaba itzal aviv, amar lo b'ni. When he came back to his father and he said what he did, and remember the son promised the workers apparently additional mezonos, so the father got nervous. He said, my son, afilu ata osalan kitu suda shloma b'shaito, lo yatesa yidei chobosech. Even if you give them like the Suda of Shlomo HaMelech in his glory days, you have not fulfilled your obligation. Why? Shein b'nei Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov. Because they are the sons of Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, and therefore whatever you give them, it will not be enough. So therefore go back and explicitly articulate that the only mazonos you're going to give them is what we call the Minag HaMadina mazonos, the regular mazonos that they're entitled to. To which the Gemara says, Lameimra, the Suda said to Avram Avinu, Adifa mid Shlomo. Now, are you saying that the Suda of Shlomo HaMelech that the Suda of Avram was greater than the Suda of Shlomo? Because we'll say, remember again, the Gemara says over here that because you promised them additional mezonos, even if you give them like the Suda of Shlomo HaMelech, it's not going to be enough. Why? Because they are the children of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, which makes it sound like the Suda of Avram Avinu was even greater than the Suda of Shlomo. Could that be? V'haksiv, v'hilechem Shlomo. So listen to this. Gimnavi discusses the daily amount of food consumed in the household of Shlomo. Vahilechem Shlomo liyom echad shloshim kor soles. They used 30 kor of fine flour, v'shishim kor kemach, 60 kor of regular flour, asara bakar b'riim, 10 healthy cows every day, v'asara bakarei, 10 free range cows, me'atzon 100 sheep, levad me'ayol. Tzvi v'yachmar, in addition to all these other animals, an ayal, a ram, a tzvi, a deer, yachmar, we'll discuss, ubarburim avusim. Barburim avusim, also we will see, means fattened hens. V'amar, gorion ben istion, mishmei der avusim. That's the daily amount of food in Shlomo HaMelech's palace. And gorion ben istion said, mishmei der av, halalu la'amilan shel tevachim. All of that wheat was only to create the doughs to absorb the froth off the pots of food. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar, halalu letzike gedere. And Rabbi Yitzchak said, all of these animals, these are like only the appetizers. These are only the appetizers. It wasn't even the main meal. But Rabbi Yitzchak, elef nashon yishlomo, shlomo melech had 1,000 wives. Kol, achas v'amas achas, ases salo bebeisei kach. And every single wife prepared this amount of food every single day. Why? My timer, zus v'ro shema etzli soit hayom. Because no one knew where Shlomo was going to be eating that night, and therefore each one prepared the full feast. The point over here is a lot of food. It says the Avram Avinu ran to the bakar, to the cattle, and he took a cow that was literally soft and good. Ben bakar echad, rach shnayim. Tov Shlosha, and we dash in Abosai, Ben Bakar means one cow, Rach means two cows, Tov means three cows. So how can you compare, Avram Avinu has three cows, how can you compare that to Sud of Shlomo HaMelech? I'll tell you why. Because Hasam, Tlasa Turila Tlasa Gavri, Avram Avinu prepared three cows for three people. The meal of Shlomo HaMelech was to feed the entire Jewish people. In other words, Shlomo HaMelech, what did Shlomo HaMelech do with all of that food? So obviously, again, whatever was not used in his palace, ultimately, again, was distributed to the general populace. So from a ratio perspective, Avraham Avinu's meal was much greater, because Avraham Avinu gave three people each their own cow. Oh, we'll see. So the Gemara says, "Hachal chol Yisrael v'Yehuda shneim ar Yehuda v'Yisrael radim kechol hashal sasayam." My barburim avusim. By the way, what are barburim avusim? Amorav sha'ofsim osan bal karchan. These were force-fed hens. So force hens, they were fattened up hens that were again considered to be a delicacy. Ushmuel Amar Shmuel says sha'ofsim va'on melem. No, they're not force-fed. Rather, they're fattened up on their own. They just eat a lot. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Mevi'in tur mimar iso, but the law on it. So it's actually interesting. He used to bring a cattle from its range without that was never forced to work. In other words, free-range cattle. Free-range cattle was the best kind of meat. Fitarnagolus mashbas below, and he said, same thing, the hens that were just free to peck around the garbage heaps never had to do any kind of work, and therefore, again, the meat was tender. Am Rabbi Yochanan, Mufchar shevehemos sharp. Rabbi Yochanan said, the best kind of meat is from a shark, from an ox. The best kind of fowl is a hen. Amra meimar zaksa uchmasa beibat nisa the mashtachach beni atziri. A meimar said the best kind of hen is a fattened hen. Rashi says over here. Rashi says zagasa tarnagolas. The best kind of hen is a fat. It literally means a hen with a blackened stomach. Beibat nisa. He said, the Mishtachach Beni Atzri, that is found again in the wine press. Now, apparently, the hens that are found in the wine press feed off the grape skins. So, apparently, again, that fattens them up and also gives the meat a good flavor. Delomatsia Pasia Kanya. Look at Rashi. Delomatsia Pasia Kanya. Sheni Yechol Lifsoa Kana Merov Shmena. It's so fat that it can't even step over a reed. Okay. Ve'ala Bakar Atzavram. So, Avraham Avinu ran to the Bakar. Amar Rav Yehuda Marav. Ben Bakar Echad, Rach Shnayim V'Tov Shlosha. So we'll say, the Gemara Darshins, Rav Darshins, that Avraham Avinu, even though it says V'la Bakar Ratz Avram, sounds like to one cow, we Darshin, Ben Bakar means one cow, Rach Tzof means two cows, Tov means three cows. Ve'ema Chad, so why don't we go ahead and say that it only refers to one cow, Kedarmi Inshi Rachich V'Tov, because people sometimes describe an animal as soft and good, Imkein Lichtov Rach Tov. So if that's the case, the Pasuk should have just said Rach Tov. Soft, good. My vitov. What does it mean? And it was good. Shmamina l'drasha. Comes a teaching of both said that it has to be expounded. The teacher that Avraham Avinu took three different cows. Emotre. So I don't understand. Why don't we say it's just two cows? Made the tov l'drasha. Since tov is being used for a drasha. Rach nami l'drasha. Rach is also being used to teach me about said that each of those words refers to the fact that Avraham Avinu took three different cows. Massive rabbar. So we'll say first wide line of the widest lines. Massive rabbar bar ula vitim rav hoshia vitim rav nasa bar hoshia. Vayitin elanar, vayimaher la'asos oso. So the Pasuk Avraham Avinu took the calf and he gave it to the lad to prepare it. So the Gemara's question is, if it's three different cows, then what? Why doesn't it say osam? Right? It should say he gave them to the lad to prepare it. Why oso? Why oso? Why it? Kochad v'chav yavino lenarchad. Because what it means is he gave the animals one at a time to the lad. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Va'ikah chema v'chalav ben abakar asher asvaitin lifnehem," and he went ahead and he made the butter and the milk and the ben bakar that he placed before them. The kama the matcha isila kame, as the calves were prepared one at a time, he placed them before the guests. V'lama li tlasa, but I don't understand, why do I need three cows for three people? Tiski b'chad, they both say one calf per person would surely be enough. Amar Rav Chanan bar Amma kedei la'achilin shalosh l'shonos b'chardol. Because both say he wanted to give them tongue. He wanted to give them, right, the delicacy of tongue with mustard. And therefore, again, he prepares three different cows. Amar Rabbi Tanchum Barchan Bosse. Just by the way, you also see the incredible Achnas Archim of Avram Avinu, the expense involved in that, right? The shechting of three animals, of three whole animals, really just for the purposes of the tongue. Incredible. Amar Tanchum Barchan Iloi. The Olam Bosse is another beautiful Gemara. The Olam Ayishana Adam Min Amerag. Bosse, a person should not deviate from the custom of the land, right? A person should not deviate from the custom of where he is. Shari Moshe ala lemarom v'lo acha. Moshe v'lo acha lechem. Because when Moshe ascended on high, when Moshe went to receive the Torah, he didn't eat anything, right? Because they will say, why? Because when he was in the celestial abode, right, receiving the Torah, where they did not eat, so Moshe didn't eat either in order not to stand out. Malachi Asharis yardu lemata v'achlu lechem. When the Malachi Asharis came down to this earth, they ate bread. Achlu sakalecha, did Malachim actually eat bread? Rather, again, they made it look like as if they were eating and drinking. So says Rabbi Tanchum, we learn an important lesson that a person should strive to be like the other people in the community. Even if a person has different practices, a person should not flaunt their different practices in the community. Rather, a person should do their best to accommodate. Whatever Avram Avinu did for the Malachi Asharis himself, whatever Avram did for the guests himself, God did for the Jewish people himself. The And whatever Avram Avinu did for his guest through a shaliach, God did for the Jewish people with the shaliach. So this is actually a beautiful Gemara, which is an incredible yisod. Meaning, whatever Avram Avinu did himself, in other words, whatever he pushed himself to do, there's a midah kineged midah. If I exert myself, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu exerts himself. If I outsource to a shaliach, the Ribbon Shalom uses a shaliach as well. Where do we see this? Avram Avinu ran to the cow. Right, ran to the cow for food. So ultimately, again, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the slav, right, the good slav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings the slav, ultimately, again, it says that God caused the wind to blow, and God collected the slav. Says Avram Avinu collected, he took and he brought the butter and the milk. God says, I'm going to bring for you lechem, I'm going to bring for you ultimately bread from the sky. Avram Avinu stood by his guests, meaning he literally like a butler in front of them, right? He stood by the tree. God says, I will stand before you by the rock. When they finished, right, Avram Avinu was malava them, he escorted them out. God literally escorted us. God escorted us by walking before us during the day. Yukach na ma'at ma'im. So again, Avram Avinu said, let me bring for you some water. Yukach na ma'at ma'im means, let me allow to be drawn for you water. So this is, he delegated this to Yishmael. Yishmael, bring them water. So to HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you'll hit the rock, and you'll bring forth water from the rock. He was a shaliach. This argues on Rabbi Chama. Why? Because what Rabbi Chama is saying? Rabbi Chanina's model has a little bit different. He has it in the merit of three. We met in the merit of three. We were given three gifts. What does this mean? Bischar Chama v'chalav. And the schos that Avram Avinu gave the Malachim chema and chalav, butter and milk, zakat leman. His children were given man. Bischar behu omeid alehem. In the merit of Avram Avinu stood over his guests. Zakhu la'amut ha'anan. We were privileged to receive the cloud. Bischar yukach na ma'at ma'im. In the merit of let there be taken a little bit of water, right, fetching the water for the Malachim. Zakhat lebe'era shamiriam. We were privileged to have the Be'er Miriam. They're both saying that, by the way, this is just an interesting aside, how the Gemara calls it Be'era Shel Miriam, even though the Gemara is saying it was given to us in the Zchus of Avram Avinu. All right, you have some homework. Next, Yukach Nama Atmai V'rachatzu Raglechem. Since Avram Avinu said, let me get you some water and wash your feet. So we'll say, so again, so it's just the machlokes as to how exactly this worked in the Midbar. So according to the first approach, everything that Avram Avinu did himself, God did for us himself, anything that happened through a shaliach, God did through a shaliach. According to the second version, in the merit of the three acts of Avraham Avinu, we merited the cloud, the be'er, and the man. Okay. I skipped the line. Avraham Avinu tells his guests, his angelic guests, let me get some water and wash your feet. The Malachim said to Avram, V'chi ba'aravim chasharatanu she'mishtachavim la'avak l'glechem, are you choshesh that we are Arabs who worship the dust of our feet? In other words, you're both like, Chazal understand that Avram Avinu was giving them the water to wash their feet, not just simply because that's a nice and relaxing thing, but he was choshesh that they were idolaters who worship the dust of their feet. Kavar yotza mimeni yishmo. So since they said to Avram, actually, Rabbi said a very scathing statement. He said, don't worry about us. You already have the son who worships the dust of his feet. Rashi says, "Kavar yotzei mani Yishmael, mimcha yotzei aher gelasos kein." From you already, the one who does this has come forth. So the Marashah points out over here that what the Gemara is trying to teach us is that when you're choshesh others of wrongful activity, that very wrongful activity comes from your own household. I'm sorry? In Achinami, the Gemara seems to say Avraham Avinu was held to a higher standard. He should not have been choshe b'ksherim. Amar lo b'sifan, says the Gemara the following. So remember again, the Pasuk says, now fast forwarding a little bit, God appears to Avraham Avinu in Elonei Mamre, and he is sitting in the entranceway of the tent by the heat of the day. So we'll say, remember, this is immediately after the Bris Milah. My kechom ayom, what does it mean in the heat of the day? That day was the third day post circumcision. Apparently, the most painful day post circumcision. And God came to visit Avraham Avinu. God took the sun out of its sheath. In other words, God caused the sun to be blazing on that day. Why? But in order that Avraham Avinu should not be bothered with guests, that he should have the ability to heal, to have a quiet day. Shadre le'Eliezer le'mefak libra. So what happened? Avraham Avinu was very distressed that there are no archim, there are no guests. He sent Eliezer to go search outside for some guests. Nafak v'lo ashkach. So Eliezer went, but he could not find any guests. Amar lo mehem nilecha. Avraham Avinu said, Eliezer, I don't believe you that you cannot find any guests. In other words, Avraham Avinu thought that Eliezer was perhaps not looking hard or perhaps even lying. In order what? Again, for good reason. In order that he did not want his master to be burdened with guests. This is what people say. Less heminusa ba'avdim. There is no trustworthiness in avodim, in servants. Nafak ihu. So what happens? Avraham Avinu goes out to the entranceway of his tent, and who does he find by the entranceway? None other than the Ribono Shel Olam. This is what it means when it says, "Al na ta'avor me'al avdecha." Please, my friend, please do not leave me'al avdecha from upon your servant. So the Gemara understands this to be referring to Avraham Avinu speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "Ribono Shel Olam, thank you for coming. Please do not leave." So when he saw that, look at Rashi, Deka Asar, Avram Esmilaso, Vishari, Amar Lav Orech Arulamekam Hacha. When he saw Avram Avinu changing his bandages, so he said, it's not appropriate for me to be here. Right? And she gave Avram Avinu his privacy. So the Gemara says, Hainu Dichsev, Vayisa Enov Vayar, Vine Shlosha Anoshim Nitzav Alov. So Avraham Avinu lifted his eyes and he saw three people standing before him. Vayar Vayarat Likrasam. So we'll say, so what happens? So he went ahead and he ran to greet them. Mekara Asu Kameale, Ki Chazu Da Havile Tzara, Amru Lav Aurach Arla Mikam Hacha. So we'll say, so what happened? So originally they were coming towards the tent, but when they saw that Avraham Avinu was in pain, again, they also saw the changing of the bandages, so they said, you know what, it is not appropriate, again, for us to go ahead and, it's not appropriate for us to come in and visit now. So the Gemara says, Man ninu shlosh anoshim, who are these three people? Michael, Gavriel, Urifael. was an amazing. Three malachim. Rosa, not just any angels. These are the archangels of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Michal, Gabriel, and Raphael. Michal, Shebal of Aser Esara. So Michal came to announce the birth of Yitzchak to Sarai Menu. Raphael, Shebal, Rapi Es Avram. Raphael came to El Avram Avinu. Gabriel, Azal, Lamafche, Lestom. Gabriel ultimately came to go ahead and overturn stones. Mostly we'll stop over here for today. Will the Mirat Hashem continue with this narrative tomorrow? Shkoyach. I'm sorry? That's pretty good, right?